For the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. God, for the Spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory.
Was slain, who have borne all our sin and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us.
He is coming, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We are His, our lamps are trimmed, our lives in order, not in sin. Jesus is coming, yes, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, the Bible tells me so. He is coming from on high to take us home where we won't die. He rains down fire from skies above. We have no fear, safe in His love. Jesus is coming, yes, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, the Bible tells me so. Coming, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He paid the price for all our sins, the marriage feast we will attend. Jesus is coming, yes, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, the Bible tells me so. Coming, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. He is my strength, I cannot fall, when I trust Him with my all. Jesus is coming, yes, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, the Bible tells me so.
longer do you think you have before you go completely blind? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? Salvation's calling you. That long black train is rolling. Sweet chariots are coming too. You can ride that cloud to heaven or take that train to hell. The chance for you has come today to break old Satan's spell. Take that ride on high or end up down below. Right now the time's before you to break old Satan's spell and give your heart to Jesus or send your soul to hell. Oh, hey sinner, hey sinner, you're running out of time. How much longer do you think you have before you go completely blind? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell? The choice is now before you. It's time to break sin spell and claim your destination. Is it heaven or is it hell?
When God's people get together, get united to take their stand, the devil can do. It's written he's been defeated. Jesus took away his keys. He said the gates of hell cannot stand when we come walking through in the name of Jesus.
Welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live this Thursday night. Let me get that radio down. The September 26, 2024. Thanks for joining us. And cloudy night here at the Radio Ranch. Had a beautiful sunset. Just drove up. was actually a couple minutes late getting on here tonight, but an absolutely beautiful sunset, and not near as cloudy as down in the panhandle of Florida and South Georgia, South Alabama. They got their hands full right now. We're going to pray for them and hope that, well, Remnant, I hope that you pray for your brethren that are down there. There's a big old storm hitting America right now, and that Hurricane Helene is just one of them, that's for sure. But that one is sure visible, and it's I think it's got everybody's attention. Well, let's pray before we go any further. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for safe travel, for your hand and all that we've done, Lord. And Lord, I hope that all that we do glorifies you. We thank you for this time that you've given us, Lord, this time that you have us here, Lord, that you have prepared us for. Father, I pray for a good broadcast tonight, Lord, to encourage your people, and Lord, to praise and honor you. Father, I pray for those in Florida, in the eye, and in the path of this storm, Lord, not just there where it's hitting, but Lord, the surge, the storm surge, and the rain and the winds are hundreds of miles in every direction. And Lord, we pray for mercy in your wrath, O Lord. We think of the storms that we read about in the Bible, Lord, and they have been great and they have been awesome. And Lord, we pray your protection for those that are yours. Lord, we claim you, Jesus Christ, as a refuge in the storm, Lord. And we claim it for our brethren in Florida and Georgia and Alabama and up into the Carolinas and Tennessee and just in all the places this storm is headed, Lord, and where it's at now and where it's going. And Lord, we just pray for your protection on your people. Lord, we thank you that you have shown us over the years that you have done that very thing, Lord, that as Psalm says, you prepare a table for us in the midst of our enemies. So, Lord, we pray for a safe haven for those that are yours in the midst of this storm. We thank you. Thank you. And Lord, we trust and look to you much more than FEMA or anything else, Lord. Our trust and our faith is in you, and I thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight, Lord, and thank you for the opportunity to speak with the remnant. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Folks, do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913, and be glad to take your call. Hurricane Helene, I guess that's how you pronounce it. I don't really watch the news. I might look up a story or two on my phone or on the computer, but I don't listen to the news. But it looks like it's slamming Florida as a Category 4. One of the words that I've noticed, that I'm from Florida. I was born and raised down there, and spent the first 25, 30 years of my life down there, most of it. And we have hurricanes, and you'd see them in the news and this and that. This is the first time I've ever seen this unsurvivable storm surge that they're talking about. And that's been a word that, sometimes whether it's assault weapon or, different words that pop into our vocabulary and into the public consciousness. And so that's one that I've seen on several different news stories over these last few days as this storm has strengthened and just barreling into Florida, right up in the crook of the panhandle. A 20-foot, they're saying, unsurvivable storm surge. Well, let me tell you something about people down in Florida and down in the south, down there in South Georgia and South Alabama. And they'll survive. They'll do their best to anyway. If anybody can survive it, they can. The old country song comes to mind, a country boy can survive. Now, I don't mean it in rebellion to God, not at all. But if you need to evacuate, it's probably too late for that now. And so we do need to pray for these people. But it is monster winds, flooding. looks like it's going to roll right in there. I think I saw earlier, what was it, Perry, Florida maybe? Or looks like it's going to just come in between maybe Tallahassee and maybe right over Tallahassee or just to the east of it, east of Panama City, of course, and whatnot. So folks, we do. We ask you to this evening, if you're not having 100-mile-an-hour winds at your door, and you're not having your trees bending over and things blowing through your yard and rain pelting and stuff, guess what? Some of our brethren are experiencing that. So keep them in prayer. That's what we are to do. It is. You know, when Jesus explained it, boiled it down pretty much to the bottom line. You know, when the lawyer asked him, so Matt, great master, what's the great commandment? And he said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, certainly we could elaborate on those and what's the term today, flesh those out and just expand into each one of those. But love God. And, you know, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, that's certainly a good start. But the other part is to love your neighbors yourself. And, you know, being that it's nightfall here on the 26th and there ain't a whole lot we can do, you know, jump in the truck and drive down there. No, I don't think that's the thing to do right now, but we can pray. And the Bible says the prayers of the righteous are effective, right? Remember reading that? And so let's take a look at that real quick. Why don't we? Didn't have my Bible open. I was got a different part marked. I wanted to talk go a little different direction tonight, and so I'm not sure if we will or not, but that's okay. Let me make sure my microphone's working. Well, anyway, if you want, you can call in 307-745-5913. But we read here at the end of James, right? James chapter 5, the second part of verse 16, it says, the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And we have to remember now, Elijah was a great man, and he loved God and he loved his neighbor. And it said he had a nature like ours. So that should be an encouragement to us, because it says that he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. And so the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, the only righteousness we have is in Christ. We understand that. And the writer here understood that as well. So we certainly don't step outside of that, but we are to pray for our neighbors. That's the whole gist of this part of James. So I hope that you do that. I do. Not just right now, but when you go to turn in tonight, and I hope you, as you tell the Lord thank you for this day, that that you pray for those in the path of this hurricane, those experiencing it. Well, Remnant, I want to let you know, too, we putting the final touches on the Volume 10 Dragon Slayer newsletter. And, yes, that's here in the ninth month. And so we're doing our final proofing. I had Jason a proof copy today. I'm holding the other proof copy in my hand. We've got a couple final little tweaks, and we're going to start printing that, good Lord willing, tomorrow morning. And so we hope to have that in the mail to you next week. It's the third and final part of Colonel Moore's Firearms and Freedom. And folks, I can tell you, we've had a great response to this. Lots of new people. You know, Colonel Moore brought this book out in the 80s. Well, guess what? There's been a lot of changes, but how prophetic these teachings and warnings were then, and we are living them and to the nth, ninth degree today. And so we see that. We see the things that they started, they've expanded. And so it's a foundational teaching on the truth that firearms and freedom go hand in hand. And if you lose one, well, the other is not going to hang around for long. It's just as simple as that. And got a great Hand That Rocks the Cradle article. Got a new listing of books by E. Raymond Capp. I think you'll like it. Again, you know, we're noticing that quite a few new people are coming on that maybe they didn't get the traditions of Glastonbury 15, 20, 30 years ago like some of us did. And so it's kind of new to them, or the Scottish Declaration of Independence or whatever. So anyway, we've kind of put some together and letting you know, have them available. And, you know, we recently added a book that Mr. Capp did years ago, but it wasn't one that we had ever carried. And it was actually Mr. Capp didn't do it, but the same publisher, but it's called Dan, the Pioneer of Israel. And it was by Colonel Galler back from the 1880s. It's the same publisher that publishes Ray Capp's books. And just a great little, reprint of this history, true history. We have sent a lot of the tradition of Glastonbury's out, had quite a few people order that. Talks about the silent years of Jesus Christ between his 12th and 30th year. And again, history, just like the other last two books we've added, Scalp Dance, the Indian Warfare on the High Plains back in the late 1800s, and Execution by Hunger, talking about the Holocaust in 1929 when Stalin tried to kill up to 7 million Ukrainians, starving them to death, shot them, hauled them off the farm, and just couldn't stand to have this well-to-do peasant farmer approaching a middle class. That doesn't work with communism. And so, folks, these books are truth. They are history. None of these books are politically correct. Okay? None of them are. But let me tell you, we're sending them into foreign countries. I sent 4 orders today internationally. 4 orders today. And so as well as a double armful just here in the States. And so it is encouraging to me that the truth continues to go out. I'm thankful that you, the remnant, continue to support us here and partner with us to continue to make these truths available. Somebody back 35 years ago made them available and got my family involved to where they could get me involved in this and help open my eyes to it. And so, you know, we just continue on. We owe it to our posterity. We owe it to those that come after us, those that are awakening now to these truths. One more part on this newsletter, then I'll move on. I do want to talk about some current events and some preparations, but we did a little Thanksgiving preview. You know, Thanksgiving's going to be here before you know it. It's just around the corner. Summer is history. We are in the fall of the year. Thanksgiving is coming. So we've, toward the back of the newsletter, we've kind of got a Thanksgiving preview. A couple of the books, The Light and the Glory and The Light and the Glory for Children, and From Sea to Shining Sea and From Sea to Shining Sea for Young Readers, and as well as the Pastor's Thanksgiving, The True Story, the little treatise of that. So, but again, it's historical truths that have stood the test of time and hopefully will continue to. Again, not politically correct. No, they're not. They're not. It's not what our, this whatever millennial or X or Y generation is, and they haven't been taught it. The generation before hasn't been taught it. I'm 59 years old. I graduated high school in 83, and you know, we were not taught a lot of this. It was on its way out then, just as we've experienced since then a revisionist history that has taken over the schools and the colleges. It really has. But these books are available, and as long as we can continue to make them available, we're going to. So we hope that they're an encouragement to you. Well, I saw a blurb, and it always happens that, you know, these power companies and the power line guys and all that, they're ready. You know, there's thousands of them that are stationed already. They've already been moving the last couple days to come back into the area to, you know, get new power poles put up where they're knocked down and run new lines and get the power back on and all that. They're prepared because they've seen it happen time and time and time again. And they know how important it is to get the electricity back on. So, you know, they don't wait till the storm's gone and then 3 or 4 days later for the governor to call and then 3 or 4 days later for this and that. No, they go ahead and they get going. They're ready now. They're stationed just outside, just on the east coast of Florida and over closer to Texas, you know, out of the storm path and stuff, and they'll be rolling in as soon as the wind and the storm's gone. But you know, it still may be a while before that power's back on. I remember years ago when my parents were still alive and had their place in Florida, and I don't remember what year it was, but they had 3 back-to-back hurricanes that just devastated Central Florida. And they were without power for, I think, about 6 weeks in the summertime when it's hot. And, you know, they weren't the only ones. There were probably hundreds of thousands of people that were without power. And so, you know, but thankfully my dad was prepared a little bit. And so it certainly was an inconvenience, but it wasn't a catastrophe. Does that make sense? And I did want to, in light of the hurricane hitting Florida, and, you know, we've been talking about preparation and things like that, see, that's the difference. If we can be prepared for whatever it is that life throws at us, at least as much as possible, if we can try to be prepared for the storms of life, well, then when those storms of life hit, and they do, they hit each and every one of us, whether it's a storm just in our life, whether it's financial or health-wise or whatever it may be, or if it's a hurricane or tornado or drought or flood that comes our way. Well, we can do our best to make it more of an inconvenience than a catastrophe, than a disaster. Now, the government, they just want you to, you know, do whatever they tell you to do, and then they'll take care of you. And that's how they want it. They want you dependent on them. But for the Christian, the true Christian, no, we'll rely on Jesus Christ. We'll rely on God, on His Word. Doesn't mean we sit on the couch and, you know, we don't want to be the, you know, the old story about the guy caught in the flood, and the water kept coming up, and he had to crawl on top of his house, and a canoe comes by, and they say, "Come on, old man, we'll take you off," and he goes, "Nope, God's going to save me." And pretty soon the water rises some more. A motorboat comes by, the rescuers, and they say, "Come on, old man, we'll take care of you. We'll rescue you." And he's like, "Nope, God's going to save me." Then the water's up over his roof, about to his knees, and helicopter comes by, lets down a rope, says, "Grab hold, old man, we'll rescue you." He goes, "No, God's going to save me." And he drowns in the flood. But he'd been a good old guy. He'd done what he was supposed to, even though he was pretty stubborn and hard-headed then. He, nobody said that we were super smart. And he gets to the pearly gates and he says, I got a question, Lord. He says, why'd you let me die? God says, I sent a canoe and a boat and a helicopter to try to rescue you, you dummy. And so we have to have our eyes open. We are in this world, right? We're not of it. We don't embrace it, and we don't let it drive us, but we are certainly in this world. And, you know, just like this economy, it's affected all of us. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust, right? Right? Now, there are times, right, like in the Exodus of Egypt and the plagues before the Exodus, but in the plagues of Egypt, that there was darkness in the land, but, you know, there was light over there in Goshen where the Israelites were. I encourage you to read that. Read that there in Exodus. And when the plague of the death of the firstborn came, those that were obedient, well, they were protected from that plague. And so, but they were still there. Oh, it came. They felt the darkness. It came over the house. They probably heard it rattling at the door. But see, if the blood was on the doorpost and the lintel, well, all it did was rattle the doorknob, and it just kept going. And so it was an inconvenience, maybe, but not a catastrophe, not a disaster. And that's how we want our lives to be. Certainly in the spiritual, you know, that we want to be ready. We want to be prepared. We've talked about that quite a bit. Tonight I want to talk a little bit more, I guess more on the physical. We have carried a book. It's called You Have Been Warned. Colonel Moore wrote the foreword for it, just a little page. And the book was written by Jerry Yunkins in 1985 out here in Fort Collins, Colorado. And certainly since 1985, there have been many gains in preparation. And whether it is food storage, economic storage, gold, silver, food amounts, types of storing it, water and water sources, energy storage, batteries, solar power, firearms. There's a section on here. I'm just kind of thumbing through it real quick. Clothing. And you know, I'm glad that we probably have, I won't say, yeah, probably upgraded, right? Expanded, more variety. It even talks about health, home, medical, and first aid equipment. And so, and it's got a nice list here, a little household medical chest and medical kit minimums and things like that. And sorry, I got my phone texting. I didn't have it's my daughter that's working. She says, stuck in the bakery, and sent me a picture of a couple of them. So they're working late tonight. That's good sometimes. Sometimes it's good to work late. But anyway, we have this book, You Have Been Warned. I think it's a good, it's just a short little book, 60 pages? But I think it's a good start. It's a good thing to read through to, maybe to remind you. I can tell you, those people, like I mentioned my dad, it was pretty inconvenient not having electricity for 6 or 8 weeks. But he had prepared. And so you almost have to have air conditioning down there. And so what they did is he had duct tape and plastic, and he plasticed off most of the house, and they just didn't go in it. And he left the kitchen, and they had a little back porch off the kitchen, and then a little side room that was like it had been an old bedroom. They had converted it to an eat-in dining room or kitchen or whatever, eat-in little breakfast nook. He took that out and moved their bed in there. So they had basically the kitchen and this little room and the closed-in back porch, just a few hundred square feet. And Dad had a room air conditioner in that back little porch area. And he had a generator that would run the air conditioner, and the refrigerator, and a couple of lights. And being that it was fixing to be hurricane season, and then when it started, he started filling up gas cans. And he had a pretty good storage of gas cans. Of course, had to have them under lock and key. And, you know, you didn't advertise all that to the neighbors. But so when this hurricane hit, you know, and the power went out, and then the second one hit, and then the third one, and he saw it was going to be an extended event. He created this little bug-in room, you might say. Of course, that wasn't the terms back in the 80s or 90s, the bug-in, but that's what he did. And, you know, it was just an inconvenience. Didn't have the run of the whole house. You know, if you did have to go to the other end of the house to use the restroom, well, it was hot back there. And they were on a local water source, so they had water. And so, yeah, it was tough. It was tough, but it was better than a lot. It was better than those that had no refrigerator. It was better. They were better off than those that had no air conditioner. Now, my dad was by no means a financially wealthy man, but he could fix anything. He had a business card after he retired, and he said, "I fix everything from broken hearts to jet airplanes." And I can tell you he did. He worked on Pastor Peter's airplane more than once. Now, Pastor didn't have a jet airplane, an old Cessna 172 that was older than me. But he did. He got to work on it. And so, you know, it didn't take tons of money, but he was able to have a generator and the know-how, the plastic and the duct tape and little things and to make do, to make it comfortable, a little more comfortable for him and for my mom, for his wife. And so, you know, it pays to prepare. And so, folks, I want you to, especially when you see this, you know, there's a big old storm hit America today. This big old hurricane did. But, you know, that's not the only storm on our horizon. It's just not. And so you just never know if the power is going to go off, if there's going to be a problem with the electronics. You know, we've had our little supply chain issue problems that they kind of lump everything into, right? And so, it just, in the physical and the spiritual, it helps to be prepared. You know, there's two schools of thought there. You know, you can go back and read about Joseph there at the end of Genesis. And you can read about that and how, you know, Pharaoh had the dream and Joseph interpreted it. Then he's made second. He's put in charge of everything for the 7 good years to store up for the 7 bad years. And it worked. And it worked. And, you know, then there's other times that, the children of Israel were wandering in the desert and had to rely on God for the food and bread. I mean, and water. It's just as simple as that. Either way, see, there's a couple schools, and they're both biblical. You know, the children of Israel were led into the desert, and God provided for them. Joseph was led to Egypt and was told to prepare. And so he did. So I kind of feel that we're told a little more to prepare. Certainly we hope to have the faith that if, you know, we don't rely on and trust in, you know, any preparations that we make. You know, we sure don't just sit on the couch and say, "Well, Lord, you're going to have to feed me because I'm not going to do anything about it." See, that's the wrong attitude as well. So, again, preparation. And that's why I brought this little book out. You have been warned. It's got a couple of little, it's got, I think, what was it? I just saw it here. A little food storage information, you know, seeds and whatnot to feed a family of four for a couple years and, you know, things like that. Just a nice variety. Gives you just a little list, some freeze-dried foods you can work with, different things like that. One of the things that, too, it talks about bleach in water. You know, if you do water storage, you know, for short term, it's okay. But for long term, you have to think about, you know, keeping the bugs and stuff out. And so it talks about, you know, a couple drops of bleach for a quart of water and a half teaspoon of bleach for 5 gallons of water and 8 drops of bleach for a gallon of water. Things like that, that just kind of, you know, it's good, a good chart to have, you might say. If you're using the iodine crystals, those are a little bit different, but it's got a little list for that and, you know, different ways to gather water. And so, again, it's a real easy read. It just is. And it kind of points you to different directions, sources, talks about firearms between rifles and shotguns and different things. I won't really go into there. We could talk about that all night, but I'll leave that up to you. Winter outfit, non-winter clothes, if that's what you need to look at. And I do like the where it talks about the household medical chest and the group medical kits and individual first aid kits. And that's just because many times, you know, if you're not in a job or a position to where, you know, you're using your hands a lot and getting busted knuckles and cut fingers and using, you know, peroxide and Band-Aids and different things all the time, if you're not used to it, you can find yourself just not having those things. And so, and especially you know, with being on the volunteer fire department out here, I've got the fire department medical kit, big medical bag, and in my truck, and actually an AED, and you know, no real drugs or anything, but just like gauze and tape and Band-Aids and you know, things like that you it's better to have it and not need it, right, than to need it and not have it. I mean, if you get a bad serious cut and you have to grab a shirt and wad it up and apply it to stop the bleeding, well, that'll work. If you have sterile gauze and pads, that's better, type of thing. Anyway, it's just a good little older book that has just some good, I think a good, you know, there were two or three things in here that I saw that it's like, yeah, you know, I probably should buy a little bit more of that to have it. Not that it, again, it's a big amount, of money to do that. But it's a good thing to look over and say, hey, you know what, I could, it'd probably be better if I did have maybe a big box of Band-Aids instead of just that little two-pack or, you know, just different things. So wanted to mention it to you. We'd be glad to send it to you for any donation. You have been warned. Again, it's from the 80s. It says A Christian Guide to Physical Preparation for the Spiritual Warfare Which Lies Ahead. And I think we are in that warfare today. We really are. And so, and I would encourage you, Remnant, also, that as this big storm has hit land in Florida and now continuing up to Georgia and Alabama, I think all the way into the Carolinas, maybe into even Tennessee and quite a bit as the storm. They're not expecting it to just dissipate, but to continue right up from the south, almost straight up into the, you know, the Bible Belt of the South, and to bring damaging winds and flooding rains and things like that. I want you to take notice, okay? To take notice just at the differences in people. That you'll have some people that as it goes through, whether they're doing news reviews or whatever, you'll see that some people are a certain way, and some are a different way, and so just notice maybe the people. See if you can tell the difference between. It seems like the people that maybe were prepared, and I don't mean just that hunkered down and you know weren't going to leave no matter what, but just were prepared that had their in the aftermath. You know the helpers. The helpers, not just the rescue crews, but the neighbors and whatnot that were there helping, that were able to, that were prepared enough in their own homes to be able to take care of themselves to where they didn't experience a disaster, but maybe their neighbors did. And so they were able to help out a little bit. You know, I got to talk with a sister yesterday a little bit about it, and she's a caretaker. You know, many times as a caretaker, you the person you're taking care of comes first, and that's certainly a good servant's attitude, and one we should have. But we have to remember too, it's like when you fly in an airplane, and they're giving the safety briefing. And they say, now, should the cabin lose air pressure, oxygen masks will fall from the ceiling, right? And if you're traveling with other people that you're responsible for, you know, children or something like that, put your mask on first. Then assist them with their mask. And again, there can be some conflict there. Oh, well, I'm going to take care of my child first. Well, that's the right attitude, okay? But if you don't have oxygen to breathe, how are you going to take care of them? And so, you know, that has far-reaching effects. That in the now I'm talking about in the physical, of course, okay? In the physical, and so in order to take care of them, of those that you're responsible for. In a way, you have to take care of yourself first in when it comes to something like that. It doesn't mean that you kick them out, that you take what's theirs. No, not at all. But you have to make sure that you are able to take care of them, provide for them, whatever. And if you can't breathe because you have no oxygen, well, then you can't do that. And it's kind of, I think about that, and I think about back in the days when, like I was telling you, my dad, when he had these things ready. And for years before that, when we were growing up, you know, we never had to worry about any of that stuff. If the power was out, well, Dad had a generator or, you know, batteries for the flashlight or candles or the little hurricane lamps, they called them, you know, the old oil lamps. And at least usually once or twice a year growing up, we'd have to get those out. But, you know, Dad had them stored away. They just, you know, they were up in the back of the closet or out in the garage or something. And so he was ready and able and prepared to take care of his family, and we should be that way as well. And it really has multiple applications if you look at that from a security standpoint, you know. I do my best to make sure my family has good vehicles to drive that are safe and secure that'll get them, you know, from where they are to where they need to be or want to be and get them home safe. And and have taught them to be aware and situate different situations. And I think most of them can use firearms pretty good if it came down that much. But but to provide for their safety as well. That works into the way we teach and train our children and the families that we have and the food that we eat or don't eat. I don't mean to ramble, but, you know, we are to be prepared. And so, again, as we see this storm coming in, I do encourage your remnant to see if you can spot the difference in people that maybe were a bit more prepared versus people that weren't. And then you just have to ask yourself, what is more desirable to you? Would you rather be, have food and water if the food and water is not available at the grocery store? Would you rather, be able to help out your neighbor as opposed to needing help? That's how we've always looked at it, is we would rather, I talked about it, I think last night or maybe Saturday for coffee. We've been, it's fall. We're getting ready for winter. I mean, we cut firewood all summer getting ready for winter. But out here, you get a real winter. And so we cut a lot of firewood and stack it and get it ready. And I've still got quite a bit more I want to do. I've got enough wood for probably 2 years, but I want to have more put up. And it's just that if it got real bad, I would rather I'd rather have the neighbor call me and ask me if I had some extra firewood than me having to call the neighbor and ask him that. But the time to take care of that is now. Not come, January, February, when all the firewood's burned and it's just been twice as bad as we thought and this and that. Well, I just didn't think. I thought I had enough. And, I'd rather the other guy think that and have made that mistake. And sure wouldn't mind. Like I said, I mean, nothing would tickle me more than to be able to, have to take a pickup truck of firewood over to a neighbor's house. And I don't mean that in a malice way. No, it'd warm my insides just like that wood fireplace would, to be able to help out, to be able to, as opposed to if the neighbor called and me saying, no, I'm barely getting by. I've used twice as much also, and I just don't have any more. I don't have any spare to give you, buddy. I would feel so bad about that. So I don't want that to happen, whether it's firewood, whether it's food, whether it's water, no matter what it is. If it's ammunition, I probably got some to spare. Again, all these things, mainly what I've been talking about have been the physical, but they certainly roll right into the spiritual as well, of being ready, being prepared. You can't just want. You can't just believe. You have to do. I can't just believe or want to have enough firewood to share with the neighbors this winter. If I want that to happen, I have to do what's necessary to make that happen. Doesn't cost a whole lot of money. Cost a little blood, sweat, and tears, maybe. Maybe a little extra time doing that instead of resting up. Maybe a little extra time, a couple more splinters or wear out another pair of gloves, something like that. But that's okay. It will be worth it. It would be. Well, Remnant, I'm about out of voice. I have talked way too much tonight. My apologies. I thank you, Remnant, for tuning in. Thank you for your prayers and support that allow us to broadcast, to come out here and, this old Florida boy to be able to come out and talk a little bit. We do thank you for allowing us to be working on Volume 10 of The Dragon Slayer. And we're looking forward to that. We ask for your continued prayers and support. And good Lord willing, we'll get that in the mail next week. Do want to invite you back Saturday morning for coffee. We'd love to have a cup of coffee with you. Join us Saturday morning for coffee with the Wranglers. 7 a.m. Mountain Time, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast. And I'm sure we'll have a little bit to talk about this storm and whatnot. And as Jason mentioned last week, Brother Zach's planning on driving out and being here at the church on Sunday for a live message, I think a part two, follow-up to last week's message, but a live message from the church. So we're looking forward to that, looking forward to fellowshipping with him. And so, again, Remnant, thanks. We thank you. We pray for you. If we can pray for you, you contact us. You can contact us through the website, and we'd be glad to pray for you. And if there's anything we can do, we'd be glad to do that. Well, God bless, and we'll talk to you Saturday morning.
And dying, playing alongside of the road, when a man filled with religion stood alongside it. He said, "I'll pray, but I just can't help carry the load." He was a preacher. He just stood there looking straight at him. Wouldn't even reach down and try to help him. He just shook his head as he left town. Where is the love flow that we're supposed to have? Where's the kindness that we need to show? And where's the compassion somehow we let slip away? Where is the love, Lord? Has it too all passed away? Back.